Let's get into it, shall we? Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5. It seemed like in my heart, and I remember in the book of Acts particularly, many times it says, and many different disciples, as Luke was writing and other writers, it talks about, it seemed good to them and to the Holy Ghost. It seemed good down in here. That was the way they described the witness or the leading, the positive green light, go this way direction of the Holy Spirit in their heart. It seemed good. Luke said that he wrote the whole Gospel of Luke, writing to his student and reader Theophilus. He said it seemed good to make a record. And he just followed it. Can you see how that worked out? Like the more he followed it, the more he thought about it. Like, man, the more I think about this, the gooder it gets. He didn't have a yay, verily. You shall write the Gospel of Luke. He just said, I'm just going to write these things down. It seems good to do it. Amen. So it seems good to give you these references and in this order. It seems like this is the way the Lord helped me piece it together. And we're going to, put it all together and help you get into a flow. So make a note of these. Just jot them down, flip an old envelope over, make some notes, put it in your phone, whatever you got to do. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5. And it says this. Actually, you know what? To make the most of this, let's back up to verse 1. It says, and you who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, when he says dead, he doesn't mean like it's a metaphor. He means cut off. He means spiritually dead. Anything that's cut off from God is dead. Has no life. We don't have autonomy. We don't have omnipotence to be alive on our own. We were given our breath and our chests and the life in our spirits and in our souls, that came from God. But he said that by being in a broken covenant and these offenses and sins, sin meaning it was done intentionally. There was a conscious choice to go the wrong direction, to go against the blood covenant, and we were all in it. And he's writing to, non-Hebrew people. So he says that you who were dead, cut off, think about that, cut off, in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. I mean, look around in the news. It's pretty thick out there. This spirit is still working in the children of disobedience. He said, among whom also we all. So let's not look down on other people. We were all there. We all had our conversation. We all had our manner of life, is that what the word conversation means. In time past, in the lust or desires of our flesh. Now, lust in itself isn't a bad thing. Because the spirit lusts against the flesh. Is our spirit wrong? No. It says that we should covet earnestly the best gifts of the spirit. Is covetousness wrong? Depends on what you're coveting. It depends on what you deeply yearn for. But he said that we had cravings of our flesh and of our mind, and that we fulfilled them, these desires of the flesh and of the mind. And that was how we lived our life. Isn't that pathetically boring? That our whole life and lifestyle, up until we went all in with God, and we still have to contend with it. These desires are still very, present in our flesh and in our mind. But they have cravings. But he said that our whole lifestyle was summed up in just following after what our flesh and what our physical bodies and what our minds desired. That's pretty, you want to use the word shallow? That's a good word. It's a pretty shallow existence. So, said among them, we also had all our, this is how we had our conversation times past. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. He said, but God, who is rich in, now look at this word, mercy. Does that mean rich in pity? Well, there's some pity in it. He's very compassionate, talking about Jesus, our Lord, who, if you've seen him, the scriptures say he's seen the Father. He is the direct representation of God, our Father. It says that he's easily touched with the feelings of our infirmities. What does that mean in 2021? He is easily touched. His compassion is easily triggered with the sense and empathy of all of our weaknesses and shortcomings. Isn't that good? Aren't you glad you got somebody like that as your boss who knows what it's like? Oh, I'm so thankful for him. But God, who is rich in mercy. Now, we're going to come back to this word mercy. It's going to be the main flow that we walk in tonight. But look at what it did. For his great love wherewith he loved us. So mercy gets defined as great love that he's loved us with. That's awesome. His mercy is his great love. Now look, he doesn't just have it. He's used it. And he's used it on all of us, but particularly on you. Let that sink in. His mercy, and he says he's rich in it. He's abundant in it. He abounds with it. He's overflowing with it. He's got more than a full supply of mercy. Oh, this is, I'm already so excited just to say it and just to hear it come out of my own mouth. But it says that he's rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Now, this is past tense. Now, why is this important to us? Because if he loved you once, he still loves you now. If he loved you once, he still loves you now. He's not like humans who think they love something one day and don't feel anything the next day. No, love is the highest form of commitment that exists. And God's love, the agape love of God, as the Greek calls it, is the highest of the highest form of commitment. Once he's loved you, he doesn't take it back. This is people want to bring this up now and this, kind of as we're flowing in this vein, because these questions have been set in our minds to ambush us. They've been set in our minds to be triggered and go off later like delayed fuses on an IED. Well, if God loves so many people, why did people go to hell? He didn't choose that for them. They did. If you don't accept Jesus as your best friend and as your boss and as your savior, it's an offer. It's not a demand. He's not forcing it on anyone. That's the better way to say it. He's got his hand out with a handshake. He's saying, let me love you. Let me love you with this love. I've already loved you before the foundation of the world. We'll show you that later in paper, in print. It's not just me making it up. But he doesn't force it on you. Once it's forced, it's no longer love. It's only love when it's given. Let me say it again. It's only love when it's given. Well, a gift given requires the responsibility on the person being given it. They get to choose. God is never going to take away your choice. He is never going to violate your free will to accept or not accept. There's another word for not accepting something. That's rejecting it. Well, I never rejected it, but you never accepted it either. And we're all responsible for our own choices. God's given. Think about what the famous scripture, John 3:16, that you see hanging on a bedsheet in the end of the end zone of a football game. It's John 3:16. Well, what does it mean? God so loved that he forced his son on everyone who... No. Religion forces. God is authentic. He is the legitimate force of love. He is the legitimate power of love, better way to say it. He so loved you and me that he gave it. And it says, and whosoever should believe... Well, evidently then believing his love is how we accept it. I believe you. Sir, I decide I believe you. I believe that you gave Jesus to me. I believe that you've made me your best friend. I believe that Jesus is my boss now. And I believe that he somehow smarter than I'm able to figure out. You raised him from the dead, and he's alive, and he has decided to be my best friend too, and I accept your hand of friendship. What are you doing? You're believing. You're taking an action. You're making a decision. You are making a covenant commitment. So by believing his love, you accept it. By believing what he said, you've accepted it. Instead of, man, I don't believe that. What does that mean? I reject it. Amen. I'm going to tell you, don't make it more complicated than this. Keep it simple. This is how people end up in hell. And this is how people also, both, you know, heathen people who have rejected or never accepted God's friendship and love and Jesus as their boss and savior. This is also how many, many people who are Christians. So we have two groups now, Christians and the unsaved, who are living in hell on earth before ever hell shows up. The real one. They're living in the fruit of hell. They're living in the atmosphere of hell. They're living in intense desperation. They're living in absence of good. They're just constantly sick and oppressed, constantly having negative things happen. Because while, and I'm talking specifically about people who, you know, basically on paper, if you will, or technically, they belong to God, but they willfully and intentionally have decided they don't believe that God wants to be good to them. Do you know why? Religion has got its hooks in them a long way back. And it's trained their minds to think like, you know, you can't have that here. Says who? Is that what the covenant says? Listen, I am results driven, but I'm covenant oriented. If it says it in the covenant, I'm sticking with it. Because that means that God gave it and he swore it in his own blood. And I'm not going to let any man take that away from me, including myself and my own thinking. Let's stick with the blood covenant. Amen. Make that decision in 2022 for yourself. And in every other year, you know, from henceforth, I'm sticking with the blood covenant. God said it, I'm sticking with it. If God said it, I'm not letting any man or any institution take me away from it. Amen. Hallelujah. But it's right here. Let's get back to it. God, who is rich in mercy, which is what? His great love, wherewith he's loved us. That even when we were dead or cut off from him in sins, he has quickened or he has made us alive together with the anointed one by grace. Are you saved? He says he's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. That means he's given us a life and a status that's on the level that he's given to Jesus. That means that, you know, we're Lord of all. No, he is the Lord. But he's also given us, implanted us into Jesus' fellowship. That's 1 Corinthians 1:9. That means we get to enjoy the life, the privileges. How about say it like this? The lifestyle, the privileges, and the benefits. Glory to God. The lifestyle, the privileges, and the benefits that Jesus himself has. Well, I need scripture for that. I'm so glad you asked. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16 says that we've been made joint heirs, not co-heirs, joint heirs. Everything that one heir gets is everything the other heirs get. That's exciting. You know why it's exciting? I'm getting ahead of myself, but it's okay. We get treated the same. We get loved the same. We get the same sense of security. We get the same sense of nothing's wrong. Wouldn't you like to live the whole year this year without a second thought that there's anything wrong between you and God, because you're so confident, secure, and grounded in his reality, his truth? That's another word for reality, is truth. His unchangeable and unbreakable reality of what he's made you and what he's given you. and where you stand with him. You're his. He's yours, and you have a. He has loved you with a great love. Now listen, before we go on, let's just keep it simple here. Let's distill this back down to something you can hold in your hand. I remember when I was a little kid, my parents, my dad, he would buy me a big old Lego set. But there'd be one little piece, one little figure in the Lego set that I wanted to hold on to. And I'd sleep with that thing in my hand. I'd wake up with that thing in my hand. I got this whole big, you know, 1,000-piece Lego set, but I got this one piece. Let's take this whole set and bring and give you that one piece to hold in your hand. God has loved you with a great love. And you've still got it. Now, 1 John chapter 4, around about 15 to verse 19, it talks about we have known and believed the love that God has to us. So we didn't just know about it. Well, we decided we believed it. What a great thing to do to set up a great year for yourself, to decide this right here and right now. And you can say it with me too. Say, God, you are my best friend. You have made me your best friend. Say it now. There you go. Now say this, I decide, I believe that you've loved me with a great love. I believe your love. Amen. What does that mean? I believe you are beyond any of the slightest shadow of doubt committed to me permanently. His love is unbreakable. Well, I need you to show me that, Brother Duke. I'm about to. Isn't that wonderful? All right. Now, look, let's keep going. Verse 7 says this. I'm so excited. I just need to take a deep breath. Look at this in verse 7. That in the ages to come. So this was all just to get to verse 7. Loved you with a great love. Made you alive in Christ, brought you up together, gave you status, gave you the new membership, gave you new new name, new privileges, took away all the old stuff. Do you remember in the movie Men in Black? When Will Smith comes in off the street, they take his tracksuit, they take his shoes, and take all the other stuff. They change his fingerprints, and they put him in a new suit, and he puts on the new glasses, they give him a new gun, and he says, I make this look good. What's going on? New privilege, new spot, new position. So what is he now? He's Agent J, I think. Yeah, Agent J. Yeah, because K was Tommy Lee Jones. Hey, sport. Hey, slick. You know, I challenge you to find someplace else you could be hearing about the Blood Covenant and have a Men in Black reference thrown in. Amen. But he says that. So this is where we wanted to get to. In the ages to come. That means starting today. He might show, demonstrate, reveal, perform the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us. So how is he going to show the exceeding wealth and stockpiled riches and resources of his grace? Now, what is grace again? Grace is love doing things. Grace is God treating us as he treats Jesus. Jesus deserves it and earned it. We get given it as a gift. Can you hear what God's saying to us because of how he acted, talking about Jesus and what he did for us? I can now give this to you. I can give it to you. But that's not the end of the custody chain here. That's not the end of the line of events. There's one more thing that has to happen. We believe it. We have faith in it. And we decide that we trust God. Sir, I believe you. This blows my mind. But thank God I don't believe with my mind. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says, I believe with the heart. With the heart, man believes. With the heart, man believes. So I make the decision down in here. Not up here. Because your mind, you could read this for the rest of your life and not ever arrive at a place of believing. Got a ton of confidence, but you've never acted on it. We decide we believe. And then it says in Romans chapter 10, this is how we, you know, this is how we went all in the first time. So this is the prototype faith. which means this is how we're going to do it for everything else. I heard your message. It brought confidence in me. I decide I believe in my heart. And then I profess that faith with my mouth, me saying this, I decide that I believe that you love me. And then he says this right here, where we've been trying to get to the whole time, that in the ages to come, this is the reason for all the love and all the new status, that he might show, that he might perform in your life the exceeding riches of his grace. What's it going to look like? Kindness toward us. Kindness toward us. That will wreck years, dare I say decades, of institutional theology, of religious training, that God wants to be kind to you. Of his own volition, of his own free will, he wants to be kind to you. He set up everything that he's done. The whole new covenant in Jesus' blood was so that he could be kind to you, so that he could be good to you and do good stuff. You know what kindness is? Good stuff. Generous stuff. Stuff you didn't earn. Stuff that's a gift. We just got done with Christmas holidays. What if all your Christmas gift had price tags attached to it that you had to pay? No, they do. They were there. Somebody else paid it. That's why they're gifts and not merchandise. They used to be merchandise, and then someone did something kind and gave them to you. Man, isn't God good? Now you can understand when someone says, isn't God good? And you're like, I don't know. But now you can go, wow, yeah, he's really good. What's another word for good here? He's really, really kind. He's really, really generous. He's really, really cool. That'd be a great 2021 thing to say about God. You want to know what cool looks like? Look at God. People running around trying to be cool, they're not. God just is. And he's generous and he's awesome. He uses his power to be good to you and me. To do good by you and me. Man, he's awesome. Father, thank you. I love you. Thank you so much. He says, it is kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Well, what do you mean through Christ Jesus? Well, it's through his power and his anointing. But let's put it a little bit more everyday, average earth people speak. How he treats Jesus is how he treats you and me. What he's done for Jesus, all the privileges and benefits of being a begotten of the Father, now belong to you and me. Okay, so here's the million-dollar question. I can hear somebody's thoughts out there. That's awesome. How do I get it to work? We've actually already talked about it. And it's going to get stronger in you by two ways. Number one, you've got to continually hear about this. What does the hearing do? Well, I was just reading about this earlier today, and it says in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3 that man does not live by bread alone. And this was something that was very important, and that God had worked in the whole generation to realize, the first generation out of Egypt, of his the children of Israel, that he wanted them to know they don't live by the bread, the manna. They live by what comes out of his mouth. Now, the word in there it says by every word. But the word W-O-R-D, that's spelled W-O-R-D, in that particular passage is in italics, which means it's been removed, was added. And I looked it up in a particular translation called the Young's Literal Translation and a couple other ones just to get a good picture of it. And what it really means is this. It talks about what came out of his mouth was produce, like fresh produce at a market. What came out of his mouth was fruit. Well, how do you plant an orchard? You don't plant the seeds. You plant the fruit around the seed. You plant the whole apple to get an apple tree. You plant the whole peach to get a peach tree. You plant the whole lemon to get a lemon tree. The fruit itself is the husk for the seed to grow. Isn't that awesome? So God didn't just give us his word, because his word is called a seed, and that's important. His word is produce. His word is fruit. He wanted to get you confident in him. So how did he do that? He gave you words of confidence to go. He gave you words filled with confidence, filled with his decision, filled with his love, filled with his commitment. And what does that do in us? Man, we get confident. And then we start having fruit come out of our mouth. Lord, I believe you. Thank you so much. You're good to me. That will come out of our mouth when it looks like he's not being good to us. Have you noticed? I mean this facetiously, but have you noticed that there are circumstances that show up in our everyday lives, in the earth or to us personally, that look like God's not being very good to us? Does it mean he's not? No. 1,000 times no. I like what the New Testament says. God forbid. No, he's being good. There's just distractions and deceptions. There's fake news, if you want to call it that. Using that as a metaphor, you understand, that has popped up to try to get us to lose confidence in God being good to us. Amen. Let's see if we can get out of this first scripture tonight. But this is God's will for you. To show you his kindness. He loves you and I by showing us his kindness. He loves you and I by doing things for us. Now, this isn't a comparison. You know, God was able to do more good things in one person's life than other. It doesn't mean that God's played favorites. The New Testament says clearly, at least in 2 places, if not more, that God's no respecter of persons, which means this: he doesn't play favorites. One person just may have known and learned how to give God more access than the other. But it's available 100% to both. God is not withholding anything from anyone. That's not how, that he doesn't punish by withholding his love or his generosity. Amen. All right. But I want you, we're going to zero in on this word, because once we know more about this word mercy, we're going to have an even greater understanding of his love to us, his mercy. Let's go over to the book of Psalms 145. Psalms 145. Now hear this. hear ye. The word mercy in the Old Testament is a word in the Hebrew. It's pronounced hesed. Hesed. And it comes out of God's covenant culture, heart, and mind. God's only culture that he has. He's excellent, and he's love, and he's power, and he's light. But his culture is covenant and friendship culture. That's his culture. That's his lifestyle. That's his way of life. That's what governs him. That's what his values are. His blood covenant. Loyalty, fidelity, keeping it, integrity, all these come out of blood covenant. He is so excited to keep his covenant to you and me that it burns in him, it motivates him, it's constantly on his mind, and he's excited about it. Amen. Well, this word hesed, mercy, it actually means a covenant love. Think about this, a covenant committed love. I'm so committed to you, I'm excited to do things for you. I'm excited to be good to you. I'm excited to keep my word in whatever way possible. You come to me to talk to me, I give you my audience. You come to ask me a question, I give you my wisdom. You need money, I give you all the resources and extra. I don't even have a second thought. Now, hold that image in your mind as you think about the book of James in chapter 1. Where it says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is neither changing nor shadow of turning. He doesn't have even a shadow of changing from being good to you. And another scripture earlier on in the verse, or earlier on in the chapter, says that he gives without a second thought and an open hand. He gives without a second thought and an open hand. The King James says it like this. Allow me to flip some pages. The King James says it in this way. It says in verse 6 of chapter 1 of James, it says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Actually, no, back up one verse. That was one verse, but yeah, one verse too late. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, our source and best friend, that giveth to all. So this isn't for one person or one group. This is for anyone. Yeah, I'm going to put it in here because it seems good again. You've been tricked out of God's goodness by devilish influence through religious instruction. I don't mean good, godly instruction. I mean religious instruction. Somewhere, someone down the line didn't get what they desired from God. And instead of finding out more why and taking responsibility for it, they built a theology around it. Well, you know, you just don't know what God wants to do. Let's go find out what he wants to do. That's why he put it in the blood covenant. He made himself clear in blood in these covenant words. He is plain about his intention to be good to you. Let's put it like this, to be a friend to you. Oh, glory to God. And it says that he gives to all liberally, and he upbraideth not. Liberally. He gives abundantly and generously and doesn't find fault, doesn't find a reason with you to not give it to you. One translation says he gives generously without a second thought. And the one I quoted, he gives with an open hand and without a second thought. Put that in, now take it out of the God context, which can still have some religious triggers to it, and let's put it in a best friend context. Hey, brother, man, I need this. I know I can come to you because you told me I could. So I have confidence to come to you, right? So I come to you straight, and I say, hey, brother, can I have this? And I show you what I've written down on paper. Man, without a second, without even a word, you reach for it, grab it, put it in my hand, say, absolutely. We've already agreed on this. Hey, thanks for letting me be a friend to you. And you're like, no, thank you for giving it to you. Hey, no. Thank you for the honor of letting me be good to you. God wants you to let him love you and be good to you. We could end it on that note, and it has been profitable. So he says this, talking about mercy, Psalms 145. This word mercy is God's covenant, fierce. I love you so much, I swear my love to you and loyalty to you in blood. And the swearing part just is to show you and settle in your mind how much I mean it and how much I want to do it. I was already here. You know, can you hear God saying it? I'm here for it. I'm already here. We here. But he's saying, I'm going to swear it in blood so you know. And you never have any doubt how much I love you and how much I want to. Well, Psalms 145, verse 8. The Lord, Psalm 23:1, Passion Translation, the Lord is our best friend and our shepherd. He said, the Lord, our best friend, is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great chesed. What does he mean by that? He is of great burning desire to be a best friend to you. Great generosity. I'm out hunting for a way to show you how much I love you. I'm out looking for an opportunity to be loyal to you. Can you hear why Jesus said in that statement in Matthew chapter 6, your heavenly Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. Why does he know? Well, he's God. He knows everything. That's true. But he knows what you need because he's been looking for ways to be kind to you. I already know what you need. I already know what you do. Just ask me. Ask me. Come on. Come on. Give me a shot. I don't know why. I just heard Al Pacino grabbing. Give me all you got. Give me all you got. You hear the Lord saying that to you? Give me all you got. Give me a chance to be a best friend to you. He's of great mercy. Man, I want to spit. I want to kick. I want to shout. I want to throw my Bible across the room in love and in a good way. You know what I mean? I'm so excited. Listen, his hesed, his mercy. In many translations, in many places in the Bible, it's translated different things, but it's all the same hesed word. Loving kindness. It's translated mercy. Some places it's goodness, favor. F-A-V-O-U-R. Oh, glory to God. He has surrounded us in Psalms chapter 5 and verse 12 with his hesed as like a shield. So what do I do with this? Brother Duke, how do I start getting results on this? How do I have that awesomeness show up in my life as a reality? Number one, you decide you believe it. Number two, you thank him out loud and say, I believe it and thank you for it. I've got it now. Your favor is showing up in my life. Your hesed, I have your hesed and it's showing up in my life. Amen. Of course he supplies all of our need. His hesed has his motivation off the charts to supply all of our need. Does he really mean all? His hesed means all. His hesed knows he means his great mercy and his great love for us would not be satisfied with anything less than all of our needs supplied. And your mind starts going, I don't know. Hey, I resist doubt and unbelief. In the book of James chapter 4 says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. I resist doubt and I resist unbelief. I resist doubting his love and his great mercy. And you say this, I decide that I believe in your love. And I decide that I believe that all of my need is supplied now. All of it. Nothing left out. Amen. Oh, you listen. Don't think for one second you won't have doubting feelings. But you take your inner feet. You take you plant yourself by a firm decision that I am sticking with what God's mercy and love has said to me in blood. Hey, he's being a best friend to you. Don't you be a wishy-washy best friend to him. Where do you get wishy-washy from? He that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man, this is also James chapter 1, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Wishy-washy. Divided loyalties. I don't know. He's not that to me. I decide before heaven and earth again right now, I'm not being that to him. I believe him. I believe him. And that's what you say. Amen. That's how you start getting results in your life. His hesed, it is so fiercely motivated and all in that it will swear itself in blood to a friend just to show the other person how much they mean it and how excited they are to keep it. You want to hear that again? His hesed is so fiercely motivated, it is so all in that it will swear itself, its existence, it will swear in blood just to show the other person how much they mean it and how excited they are to keep it. Amen. Let's look at a few hesed love facts here. Let's look at a few covenant love facts. Psalms 23, we just quoted the first verse of it a few minutes ago. Verse 6, surely, meaning without a doubt and without question, goodness mercy. Goodness and hesed shall follow me all the days of my life. So look at that. It's not just here one day and gone the next. It doesn't show up sometimes and not the other. You never know what God will do. Man, go ahead and just spit out that religious bull out of your mind and out of your mouth once and for all. What he has put on paper in this copy of the blood covenant is permanent. And it's for you to know exactly what he will do. He said, "My goodness," he said, "surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." His hesed follow comes from the Hebrew word here means to stick with. His covenant love is sticking with me, you and I, with you and me, all the days of our life. What happens after we die? That doesn't mean we're not still alive. Our bodies just die. When he says all the days of our life, he means all the days of our life. Hallelujah. It's sticking with us. Amen. Listen, I wrote this down so you could write it down too. It is never withdrawn or broken. And we have it all of our days. Listen, you need to have this and believe this when it looks like it has been withdrawn and it has been broken and you don't have it anywhere in sight. No, you need to go back to these scriptures and remind yourself, oh, yeah, God loves me. Yeah, he's sticking with me. His love is sticking with me. Listen, back up in this same 23rd Psalm. This Psalm covers your whole 2022 right here. These six verses cover your entire year this year. He says this, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," we're not denying that we're on this deployment on the earth, and it is a shadow of the, it is a valley of the shadow of death. Death casts a shadow over the whole valley that we're walking through. But notice, we're walking through it. We're not camping in it. We're walking from one side to the other. He said, "I will, though I walk in, yes, yea, I'm walking through it." He said, "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Oh, yeah. He said, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me." How could he know this with such certainty? Because he knows that God's hesed has been attached to him. By blood covenant. So I'm walking through this valley of the shadow of death. And sometimes it's really repugnant. But I fear no evil because he's with me. I fear no evil. You can say this. Let's say it. Say, "I fear no evil, for God, my best friend, is with me. And his covenant love sticks with me. All of my days. All the days of my life." Amen. So be it. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to read some to you here. Just make a note of these in your notes just for the sake of time. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord, your best friend, thy God, your source, your almighty source, he is God, the faithful God, which keeps or performs covenant and mercy." Glory to God. He goes on to say this, "with them that love him and keep his commandments." Does that mean he withholds it from some people? No. Don't read it like that. Read it like this. He's able to keep covenant and mercy with those that love him and keep his commandments. He's able to. He wants to do it for all. We just read a scripture. The Lord is good to all. So as we were saying, don't let immaturity and hurt feelings on your part keep you out of God's covenant for you. Don't let bad experiences. Don't let, he wasn't very good to me. Hey, listen, the blood covenant wouldn't exist. Jesus wouldn't have come. God wouldn't have sworn his love to you in blood if he wasn't good to you. So go ahead and come on and take responsibility for your life. Take responsibility how? What do you mean by that, Brother Duke? I mean like this. Sir, it's not you. It's me. I must need to know something else I don't know. But I'm willing. And I bend the knee and I humble myself under your mighty hand. You teach me and I'll listen. I have a willing and humble heart. And I'm a teachable heart, teachable spirit. Not going to be argumentative. I'm going to get in on this. As we said before, don't let bad experiences of your past keep you out of God's best for your life. Keep you out of what God wants to do for you in the blood covenant. Amen. He said, with them that love him and keep his commandments, then go ahead and decide it right now that you're that. Lord, I love you and I keep. What do you mean commandment? I do what you say. I do what you say. Tell me to love, I love. Tell me to forgive, I forgive. God's commandments are not from a heart of a cold dictator wanting to control you. God's commandments are from a generous, best friend heart that wants to do good to you. He's saying, do this so I can legally, in the earth, be a best friend to you. Got it. And that to him is a commandment. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at this verse. You just make a note of it. You don't have to turn there. Just make a note of it in your notes. Psalms 107 verse 1 says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. What do we start this particular part of the conversation with? His mercy, his covenant love is never withdrawn or broken, and we have it all of our days. His mercy, his covenant love, his hesed endures forever. Can you take a deep sigh of relief on that? What do I do with that, Brother Duke? Hey, just decide. Lord, I decide right now, hand over the heart. I decide that I believe that. I decide I believe it. You don't got to feel whether you believe it. I decide I believe it. Amen. Your love and your mercy endureth forever. Hey, if it endures forever, it means it endures with you forever. Oh, that's good news. Thank you, God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. All right, so God demonstrates this hesed, this covenant love to us through how he treats us. Listen, each segment of this is easily another hour, hour and a half, week on its own. But we're just giving you some simple, again, like we using the Lego metaphor and analogy from earlier, we're just giving you something simple that you can hold in your hand. And then we can build on as we go. It's not the time right now to be overly complex. It's the time just to give you the simple reality and let you hold it in your hand and be excited about it and decide you believe it. And God will begin to make it grow and expound on it. But you got to hear about it first. God demonstrates, we said earlier in Ephesians chapter 2 as we read it, that he reveals the riches of his grace. He shows the riches of his grace through kindness toward us. He demonstrates this great covenant love to you and I by how he treats us. Genesis 39 is a great story to show you this. It says that, and the Lord was with Joseph. Now remember, Joseph just wasn't Joseph and just bopping along on his way. Joseph had been taken away from his home and his family by deception and treachery of his jealous brothers. You ever been treated jealously and deceptively and treacherously? Probably. And it looks like everything's fallen apart. He's been sold into slavery. His very freedom and the clothes on his back have been taken away from him. He's a naked slave. And he's been sold to Egypt. But it says in verse 2, and the Lord was with him. Now, I hadn't really thought about this in depth on this particular thing, but God just popped it up in my heart. Look at the only person who was sticking with him. It says, and the Lord was with Joseph. Now, we know in the future, Psalm 23:1, David hadn't been born yet, but when he was alive, he would write this, which was translated in the Passion Translation like this, the Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. Well, God had walked in the blood of animals to make a covenant with Abraham. This was Abraham's great-grandson. But God's covenant love to Abram, and then Abraham, is the same to his great-grandson Joseph. He's treating Joseph absolutely the same as he treated Abraham. He's being a loyal and generous and faithful, meaning faithful, unfailing and motivated best friend, and looking for ways to be good to him. And it says, and the Lord was with him. And that was enough, even as a naked slave, that the scriptures say this, and he was a prosperous man. He was a prosperous man. Because his generous, wealthy, awesome, and powerful best friend was with him. Man, I believe that with all my heart. How about you? He says, and he was in his house, the master, he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Oh, who did it for him? The Lord did it for him. The Lord is being a best friend to him. Skip to verse 5. It says, and it came to pass from the time that he made, talking about his Joseph's overseer, Joseph's master, whose name was Potiphar. And it says that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord, Joseph's best friend, blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had and in the field. If he would bless a false god, weird religion, cultish believing Egyptian with no covenant, just for Joseph's sake, how much more will he bless you and I, who are his best friends? Hey, I don't know about you. I'm convicted in some things in this. I can see in my own life, I've been pushing a little too hard in some areas, trying to get some results, which is what sometimes circumstances are designed to do to you and I, to wear us down, to get us desperate, get us pushing, when I should have doubled down on resting in the love of my best friend. But I'm doing it right now. Right here, I'm going first. I'm giving you the example. Man, I'm trusting him and in his great love towards me. And he's handling it, and I'm resting in him. I'm verbalizing my decision right here in front of you. He's being a best friend to me. His blessing is upon all that I have and in my field. It's working. And whatever he shows me to do, however he shows me to cooperate, that's what I do. But I don't push and I don't struggle. I rest in the fact that he loves me. Amen. That's a decision for you to make too. Well, verse 21 says this, and the Lord, now listen, he went from this slave situation wasn't great at all, to he was slandered and lied about and got thrown in prison. No rule of law, no fair day in court. Just got put in prison. But it says, but the Lord was with him and showed him mercy. But the Lord was with him and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. God showed him. God treated him with covenant, fierce, loyal love. Verse 23, and the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with Joseph. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Hallelujah. Listen, this is best friend love. You could sum it all up. Glory to God. You could sum it all up. The whole night, the whole session here. This is God's best friend love. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Okay, I got it, Lord. Thank you. Micah chapter 7, you can just make a note of this in your notes. Micah chapter 7 says, who is a God like unto thee? Now, for you who are out there who are listening and have really let mistakes get in your head, live rent-free, as the saying goes, and have let things that you've done in the past or even in the very recent past, maybe even today, mistakes that you made, something that you said, something you did, and you're really being hard on yourself. We know in the New Testament that there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. You've got to decide that you believe that, because you're going to feel condemnation until you decide that you believe that you're forgiven and decide that you believe that by being in Christ Jesus, by being in blood covenant with Jesus the Anointed, there's no more judgment and condemnation. There's no more damnation. There's no more pronouncing of guilt upon you. And that you're forgiven and you're clean just like Jesus is. Jesus is forgiven? No. I mean, he's clean. He's clean. And you're clean the same. You have the same record he has. Spotless, clean. You're fresh. Hallelujah. That's good news. It says that who is a God? Who is a best friend like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? People think that we're preaching that God's just ignoring sin. No. Or that we're giving people a license to sin. I've heard that one for years. No, people are doing just fine sinning without a license. They're poaching sin without a sin license. No, we're giving you a reason to never have to be bothered with it again. And to every memory and effect of it is gone. It says he pardons iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He retaineth not his anger forever because he delights in mercy. Ooh, he delights in hesed. It's his favorite. He loves to love you. He loves to be generously hesed kind to you. This is the way God, our best friend, loves us. Psalms 86:15 says, but thou, Lord, art a God full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in hesed mercy. Ooh, glory to God. Listen, he wants you to have this and be so, he's already given it to you. As far as he's concerned, it's already yours. He wants you to enjoy it and be so full of it. Listen, Psalms 90 verse 14, this is also talked about in depth in the three-part training series in our training course resources on training on being happy. The three parts on the three-parter on being happy. Psalm 90 verse 14 says, "O satisfy us early with thy mercy." Satisfy, satiated till there's no more craving for it. He said, "Early," meaning first thing right now, with your hesed love. You know what he's saying? Satisfy me first thing of the day with your best friend love, that we may rejoice and be glad all of our days. You want to know how to be happy and rejoice and celebrate throughout the day? Go ahead and decide. Mark chapter 11, verse 24, Jesus gave us the golden ticket to how to partake of and enjoy of what God gives us. Whatsoever things we desire when we pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. Well, I thought that only meant stuff that we want. How about desiring some mercy? I've tried to make this a habit and God's helping me do it more and more. That every day, Lord, I decide that I believe that I receive your goodness and your mercy. Amen. Psalm 27 talks about, I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. You can go ahead and believe you receive his mercy and then go ahead and decide you're happy. Lord, thank you. I'm happy and satisfied and I give you praise. Thank you for being so good to me. Glory to God. Listen, this is our reality now. This is our reality right now. Let me read this to you from the Passion Translation, Romans chapter 5. Now we're back in the new covenant in Jesus' blood. Verse 7. Said, now who of us would dare to die for the sake of a wicked person? we can all understand if someone was willing to die for a truly noble person. But Christ proved God's passionate love for us by dying in our place while we were still lost and ungodly. And there is still much more to say of his unfailing love for us. For through the blood of Jesus, we have heard the powerful declaration, "You are now righteous in my sight. You are now best friends in my heart and my mind. You have best friend status. You have no record. You are as clean and as fresh as Jesus." Listen, this will solve the regret of sin. This will solve the effects of it. And begin to help you have the strength to curb the appetite for it. Amen. The devil wants to magnify all your problems. God wants to magnify all the solutions. Amen. It says, "And because of the sacrifice of Jesus, you will never experience the wrath of God." Glory to God. Now, I'm going to pick up in the next verse, in verse 10, in the New Living Translation. This is the NLT. It says, "For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son, while we were still enemies," he's talking about being reconciled, to be embraced as a best friend, to be embraced to the bosom by someone you used to be best friends with. You had a broken covenant. You became enemies because of what you did and how, what you decided. But he's of his own expense, reached out and grabbed you, paid the penalty, and said, "Listen, come here." And he's hugged you to his chest. We're best friends again. That's the picture of reconciliation. And he says this, that "for since our friendship was with God was restored by the death of his Son, while we were still enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. So now we can rejoice." What's in the word for rejoice? Now we can celebrate about it. You want to know what celebrate looks like? "Oh, God, thank you for this. I'm so excited about it." That you're rejoicing. Don't look now. You're rejoicing. "So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God. We can now rejoice in being best friends with him because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends with God." Isn't that awesome? Our Lord Jesus, our boss and best friend, has made us best friends with his Father and our Father. Listen, we're closing right here. We're already just a few minutes over. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13 says this in the Amplified Bible. "The Father has delivered and drawn us to himself out of the control and the dominion of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love." We are in his love. And because we are now in the kingdom of the Son of his love, we are treated as the sons of his love. John 17:23, Jesus said this. Let's read it together. This is important. John 17:23. Hit your app buttons or open the pages of your book, of your blood covenant copy here. John 17:23 says, "I in them and thou in me." Jesus is praying. This is how it's going to, he wants it. He's desired it to set up. He's seen what God's wanted to do and he's praying it that it would be thus and so. "I in them and you in me, that they may be made complete or perfect in one, and that, or whole is another word, and that the world may know that you have sent me and that you have loved them as you have loved me." Listen, don't let the fact that we're at the end cause you to rush over this. God has loved you as he has loved Jesus. Remember what we said in the beginning. If he loved you once, he loved you now. He loves you now. I asked the Lord about this one time. I said, "Lord, I keep seeing where you loved me. You loved me in the past. And I was wanting to know something about right now, you know, because I had feelings and things trying to mess with me and thoughts and circumstances." And I'll never forget, I heard down in here in the still small voice in my heart, I heard this: "If I loved you once, I love you now." And the light went on for me. Of course, it's permanent. He's eternal. Malachi chapter 3, It says, for I am the Lord, and I change not. For I am your best friend, and I change not. His best friendship and his best friend love with us will never change. In whom there is neither variableness, neither shadow of turning. Amen. He gives with an open hand and without a second thought. He's of great hesed. He delights. It is his favorite thing to be merciful to you and me. Don't just think forgiving. That's part of it. To be good. To be kind. To be a best friend to you and I. And let me leave you with this. This is the scripture he wanted to end it on tonight. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. He decided while we were on paper unlovable, in heart his enemies, by action detestable, worthy of all judgment and eternal hell. He loved us. How much more does he love you now? Do you see what I'm saying by that? Of course, it doesn't, you know, go up or something like that. What I mean is, if he loved you while you were his enemy, why would he stop loving you now? He's more excited about you than ever. You've actually decided to give him the time of day. And if you've gone all in all the time with him and made him your best friend, accepted his friendship, accepted Jesus being your boss and your savior, he's thrilled. It is such an exciting thing to him that you have opened a door. Let's not leave the door just barely open, you know, open somewhat. Let's throw the door wide open, sir. I believe you. I believe you love me. And you know what? Do like what it just said here. I love you. I hesed you. I'm utterly committed and devoted to you. You've made me your best friend. I'm made you mine, and I'm devoted to you with all of my heart. I'm excited about you. I'm looking for ways to be good to you, just like he's looking for ways to be good to you. Isn't it good? The Lord's so good to us. Listen, as we wrap this up, I want you to think about how much you've enjoyed this, and I want you to think about the mission that we have here. And the mission is, we have got to get this to everybody that we can. Amen. People all over the world have got to hear how good it is to be in this hesed best friend love with God and to be made his best friends and that we've made him our best friend and enjoy this life with him. A life absent of every thought of guilt and shortcoming and sin and anything negative. We don't even have a second thought of anything between God and us but love and friendship. And there's people who don't have any concept of this. Not just the heathen or the unsaved. I mean, there's Christians all over the world who think that hell on earth is all that they rate. If you want to be a part of this, you can help us get the message out. You can go online to Pay It Forward. Actually, you can go online to MisfitToySociety.com and you can select Pay It Forward and you can follow the prompts there. Listen, I'm Duke Krieger and I love you. And we'll see you soon.